What is true Christian discipleship? Last Lord's Day, we considered that. Several times I reminded you in my message of highlighting the very important, crucial aspects of Christian discipleship. You remember? What is the first statement that we learned together? So what are the important things in that? Let me just read it once again. Listen carefully. True Christian discipleship is a lifelong commitment. Lifelong commitment. Which begins with a call from God to follow Him, progresses with a persevering faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which consummates with a life lived in what? Holiness. Take note, the message is already there. I mean, the outline is already there in the WhatsApp group. So there's no reason for you to miss it out. Read through and be digested what all these things and how important for us. I expounded this from Matthew chapter 28, from that great call the Lord gave to His disciples, Matthew 28 verses 18 to 20, the Lord's final instruction before His ascension into heaven, telling His beloved disciples, entrusting with them this very responsibility. Church ministry is not just baptizing people and adding the numbers and becoming so proud of we have this many numbers, this many mission centers, this many establishments. The true, real church ministry is centered on this truth which I just read. I hope you would not miss it. So when you come here, be excited with these things. Don't come and tell me, Pastor, why can't we establish more and more mission centers? That will come later. But everyone who comes in, we want to make sure this truth is very much realistic in the lives of those brother and sister who walk in. True Christian discipleship is a lifelong commitment which begins with a call from the Lord to follow Him, progresses with a persevering faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and consummates with a life lived in holiness. So Jesus told His disciples, go and preach the gospel. Make people disciples. How? How Peter and John and Andrew and Thomas and Bartholomew and the numbers, the disciples, how would they make people disciples? How? Nene, how will it happen? Okay, cause them, then what else? What is the next important thing that it is mentioned there? What is that? Okay, preach the gospel. How? They need to teach. Teach them. Teach them what? Secular psychology,
You go to Bible colleges nowadays, you hardly find biblical exposition and theology and all. It's all the world has infiltrated. The Bible is gone from Bible colleges. Teaching them what? Tracy, teaching them what? All that Jesus Christ commanded. Teach all that Jesus commanded. That's the word. The pure truth of God. Yesterday we spent almost 3 hours to consider the vital importance of Christian homes built on God's holy word, and that 3 hours were not sufficient. We rushed through. I was feeling, even if we have the entire day to study through the concerns of families, it wouldn't have been sufficient. So much to discuss, so much to consider. How Christian homes to be established. From where? We study all these things. Not from anybody's psychology and philosophy, please, nonsense. Turn our hearts and our minds unto the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, recorded in holy, holy word. And that's what exactly we did yesterday. That's how we make people disciples. Not church disciples, eh? Whose disciples? Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ's disciples. God's disciples. That's what our endeavor here. That's what we are here. We don't want to be boastful that we have this many numbers and people and all. No. Rather, we encourage people to be in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, making disciples, true disciples, sincere disciples, disciples with commitment, a heart that is given and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why I always remind all of us, we don't want to waste our time. We don't want to waste our energy. We don't want to waste our resources. Let us come. Be part of the team. Come in. You have a place to serve the Lord together with us. But come with a sincere heart. Lord, I want to be truly a disciple of you. I want to build my life on your holy word. I want to build my family on God's holy truth. I want to see my children not following the world. I want to see my children following the Lord Jesus Christ. That we leave behind a legacy which would not happen if there is no Christian discipleship. That's what we discussed yesterday. We want to leave behind a legacy. Legacy of what? I have this much money in my bank account, or this much investment, or this much establishments I have made. Worldly, no, all nonsense. A legacy of a holy life. A life lived in holiness. Submission, obedience, and the God's truth. That is true Christian discipleship. This morning I want to just mention 3 things. 3 crucial marks. True crucial marks of a true disciple of Christ. 3 crucial marks of a true disciple of Christ. Number 1. He hears the call, and his life be transformed. A true disciple, he hears the call,
and not only hears the call, his life would be impacted by that call. His life will be transformed by that call. And that's the passage we just read. Sister Roshni read for us. So please keep your Bibles open in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. This is where Jesus just began his public ministry. Jesus just began his public ministry. John the Baptizer just baptized him. The declaration from heaven came, "This is my beloved Son." John just introduced him to the world. "Behold, this is the Lamb of God." The Lord Jesus Christ receiving the baptism from John the Baptizer. And immediately the announcement came, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." So that is where the public ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ began. As he began his public ministry, verse 35. John 1:35. "And the next day, after John stood, two of John's disciples," their name were mentioned later, Andrew and John the writer of this gospel, "two of John's disciples, looking upon Jesus as he walked," John walked, John the Baptizer, "behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples, that's John's disciples, Andrew and John, heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Verse 38, "Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and he," the Lord, "says unto them, what are you seeking?" What seek ye? What are you seeking? They said unto him, "Rabbi," teacher, "O master, where are you staying? Where dwellest thou?" Verse 39. He says unto them, "Come and see." Come and see. What was their response? They came and saw where he dwelt, and they remained with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the important marks of a true disciple is what? Hear the call of the master. These two young men, Andrew and John, they were so interested to hear from the master. Initially, they started following John the Baptizer as John went around and preached the message of repentance. They were very attracted. But John always presenting himself as that he was not the real person. Our Bible study Friday, we studied that. John came to show the way, to project the Messiah, not himself. What did John say about that? "I must decrease. Christ must increase. I must decrease. Christ must increase." And that's why we are here. In fact, this is my life words. I have been so much blessed with this truth. "I must decrease. Christ must increase." John knew. John the Baptizer knew what exactly his calling was. Just to prepare the way for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, John was telling these two disciples, "See, the Lord is already here. The person whom I wanted to present to the world, I want to show to the world, he's already here. So these two disciples stopped following John and they came to the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus, as he saw these two people coming toward him, he turned and said unto them, "What are you seeking?" And these two men, they really wanted to know more about the Lord. I mean, that's where we see the real heart of Andrew and John, the disciple John, the gospel writer. They wanted to know more about Jesus Christ. So they said, "Lord, where are you staying? We want to come with you." And Jesus said unto them, having known their heart, their heart's desire, and of course, he being God, he has already determined that Andrew and John would be one of his first disciples. Andrew and John would be one of his first disciples, or two of his disciples, first disciples. So they, as they approached the Lord said, "Come and see." They came, they saw, they dealt with him. They stayed with him, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were really touched. I believe the Lord's Holy Spirit opened their hearts, opened their minds as they spent the whole day with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus had a personal, very touching encounter with Andrew and John that day. And they were gripped. They were gripped by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the very power of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe. They were gripped by the very person because they already have the expectation. Remember, I have been always emphasizing in my Bible study class, there has been a messianic expectation happening. As John went around, John the Baptizer went around and preached the message, the truth about the Old Testament announcements about coming Messiah. So already people's mind that the Messiah will come. So John and Andrew, they were already aware. It is for them just to identify and be part of that team. That's why they came out of John the Baptizer's company now, and they want to be part of this very person, the real Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when they spend time with the Lord, they were touched. You see the words in words 40 and verse 41, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew. Now you have the name, one of the two disciples who wanted to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Lord said, "Come and see," was Andrew. Whose brother? Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother and said unto him, now listen to this, "We have found" what? "The Messiah," which is being interpreted, "the Christ." And interestingly, Andrew brought Simon to the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 42, when Jesus beheld him, that is Simon, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. By the way, the word Simon literally means a hot-tempered man. Simon, a hot-tempered man. That's what literally the word Simon, Simeon, means. And from that, Jesus said, "I will You shall be called, or I will call you as what?
Cephas.
And which literally means Petra or Petros. A stone. A man who is so hot-tempered, can't control himself. Jesus immediately changed his name, saying, you are Simon, you are no longer a hot-tempered, a man who changes his temper just like anything. You would be from now onwards a stone, Petros. That's the transformation the Lord is able to do in our lives. John heard the call. Andrew heard the call. Simon heard the call. What was the call? Come and see. Remember this. Come and see. Or follow me. That's the call. Come and see. Did they come? Did they see? Yes, they came. They saw. Now, you put your finger there. Later we see Philip went forward. Now in verse 43, and the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and finds Philip. And the Lord told Philip, follow me. Philip, who is also from the same city of Andrew and Peter, followed the Lord. And then Philip found another person called Nathanael in verse 45. Verse 46, Nathanael had a doubt. Oh, what are they all talking about? Philip immediately started talking about, oh, we found the Messiah and so. But Nathanael had some hesitation in his heart. Verse 46, and Nathanael said unto him, can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, what? You read verse 46. Come and see. Come and see. If you ask me, my dear friends, will there be any benefit in following the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to just say, for your own sake, you just come and see. In other words, follow the Lord. Come and see. We already heard him saying. We already spent time with him. We have testimonies from people like John the Baptist and Andrew and John and many others. They even spent time with him. Their lives have been gripped by the power of the Lord. This man, he is not an ordinary man. He is not an ordinary man. He is the Messiah, the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. Now you know the meaning of Messiah, right? Mashiach. The Hebrew word means what? Vincent, what is the meaning of Mashiach? Savior. Savior, the chosen one. Come on. Anointed. Forgot, huh? Uncle Pastor, how many times he taught you? Don't forget next time, man. The anointed. Messiah, Mashiach, the Hebrew word. And when we come to the New Testament, that word is known as what? Christos, Christ. The same meaning, the anointed. He is the anointed of God to bring salvation to the sinful men. We thank God. And that's what exactly the announcement came. When John baptized the Lord Jesus Christ, yesterday I was
explaining to one of our brothers at the baptism what really happened. There was no need for Jesus to be baptized. Right? Jesus did not do any sin. There was no repentance required from the Lord Jesus Christ. Then why Jesus came to John to receive the baptism of repentance? Jesus' baptism was not the baptism of repentance. He did not come to John to receive a baptism of repentance, because there was nothing in the Lord Jesus Christ to be repented. He is the Son of God, perfect Son of God. But then, what was the need of Jesus to be baptized? To fulfill all righteousness. The law required every Levite priest who enters into the public ministry, it be sprinkled upon them, that the anointment. Every priest who enters into the ministry be sprinkled upon them by the main high priest. That was the Levitical requirement. So Jesus came to John the Baptizer to fulfill that very requirement of the Old Testament law, to fulfill all righteousness. And suddenly the announcement came from heaven. That's what I wanted to highlight here. What was the announcement? This is my beloved Son. Hear him. And then we see immediately the dove, the Holy Spirit descending on him. The anointment. And that's what Messiah, Christ, to be our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, herein is the Lamb of God. Hear ye him. And we thank God. We thank God. Who recognized that? Andrew recognized. John recognized. Philip recognized. Nathaniel recognized. And they all became the followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, they came, they saw, not just with their eyes. Their lives have been touched, transformed by the very power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So my dear friends, that's what I want to highlight. When we come to be the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, you must have this experience. You have come and you have seen in your life that there is no other Savior, there is no other God like Jesus Christ. We thank God that He has come. The anointed of God. He is the anointed of God. For what? To take away our sin. And that's what later John the Baptizer himself makes it very clear. Go toward him. Turn to chapter 3 verse 36. Chapter 3 verse 36. John chapter 3 verse 36. Nidhi, would you read this verse? John 3 verse 36, please. John 3:36. These are the words. These were one of the final statements of John the Baptizer before he was arrested and put into prison. John says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Take note. This was what John the Baptizer came to present to the world, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Savior. He that believes on the Son is the Messiah. He will have everlasting life. Thank God, dear brothers and sisters, that we could see this, we could see this Savior, and we could experience His power. He intervened in my life and in your life. Thank God. If you can testify as the way Andrew and Philip and others testified, it is sure that you are a disciple, a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the call and be transformed. The second thing I want to highlight before you, the second crucial mark of a true disciple, is hold on to this Messiah. Hold on to Christ and His Word. Hold on to Christ. Not only we come and experience His person and His power in our lives and experience the transformation, we need to continue, we need to remain in Him. Hold on to Christ and His Word. Turn with me now to John chapter 6. The same Gospel, John's Gospel chapter 6. Verses 66 to 71. John chapter 6, verses 66 all the way to 71. Let me just read it for you, this portion. Let me read from verse 65 onwards, John 6, 65. And He, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, said, "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him by the Father. From the time many of his disciples went away and walked no more with him, then said Jesus unto the 12, Would you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that you are that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said, Have not I chosen you 12? Okay, that's enough. Now, this is where we see Jesus as he continuously spent time with his disciples. He wanted to take the whole story of true Christian discipleship forward. Do you know what was happening around when Jesus mentioned these words? Jesus went around. He continued his public ministry. And many people came and followed him. But out of those so many people who came to follow the Lord, there were only few were serious. Many people came to see Jesus' miracles, and many people came to be fed of him. Jesus just had the miracle of making the 5,000 bread and the bread of life discourse and all, and so many people followed to be fed of him, to find for their personal, their practical needs. They wanted their sickness to be healed, but not really to be touched that very power that Jesus exhibited in their own lives. So Jesus said in verse 66, I say unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Take note, this is a great theology in this. Jesus said, yes, I see as I go around thousands and thousands of people following me, coming toward me. But my dear disciples, know this truth. Take a look in verse 37, please. 37, John 6, 37. What do you read there? The same thing as what Jesus just said. All that the Father gives me shall come to me.
Who will come to the Lord?
Only those whom the Father gives. So many people come
to see Jesus. But everyone would not be the true disciple. Who will be the true disciples of Christ?
The Father, whom the Father has chosen.
Have I not told unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto me by my Father? Full stop.
Okay. Take note. So we prayerfully do the ministry of the Lord. We don't want to do the ministry for our own name and our own glory. Even if you bring in 1,000 people here by your, that's what people do. Because of my preaching ability, my communication skill, my counseling skill, you know. I have so many people in my church. It is not for personal glory. Ministry is always the Lord's ministry. I must decrease, He must increase. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. If you are truly a child of God, if you are truly a disciple of God, be thankful to the Lord. The Lord has seen you. The Lord has prepared your heart that you became a great recipient of God's grace, as He showered His grace toward you. Now, Jesus continues, verse 66. From that time onwards, many of His disciples went back. Take note, verse 66. It was so difficult for them to digest. Many of His disciples went back. They stopped following Him. They walked no more with Him. And then Jesus immediately asked Peter and other disciples, "Would you also go away? Will you also desert me? Will you also walk away?" What was Peter's answer? Verse 68, then Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Underline, my dear friends, that sentence in your Bible. Highlight. You have the words of eternal life. And we must recognize this. Yesterday we meditated. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. What was that? Matthew chapter 4, 4. You remember? "Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." Man shall not live by bread alone. All our earthly endeavors will come one day crashing down. This morning before I came in, I just read a news. A family in Bangalore. Husband died few months ago because of COVID, wife and two children. And the wife could not take it. That his husband already died. Just yesterday, she committed suicide with those two children. Young family. Great hope and great expectation as far as the world is concerned. Suddenly, all the hope crumbled down. And we know a few months ago how the devastation impacted our cities and our states and our country. Hundreds and thousands and lakhs of lives perished. Great men, highly educated. What is life, my dear friends? What is life? It must touch the very depth of our heart. Man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not live by bread alone. The former president of the Indian Medical Association, Gupta or something, Dr. Gupta, he was very much in the forefront of taking care of the COVID situation in India. Well acclaimed medical doctor. He used to appear before the television and channels and giving his analysis and reports and encouraging people this to be done to overcome the attack of the virus. And one day he appeared, perhaps his final appearance, with all the tube, oxygen tube, everything. And he said, and many of you might have watched that, his, one of his final appearances. I also watched. My condition is not that very encouraging. My oxygen level is dipping. And I do not know what would happen. The next day he died. The next day he died. And like that, how many stories? Man shall not live by bread alone. We find true life, true meaningful life, in the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who found it? Who found it? Every true disciple. Every true disciple. And then when we find it, dearly brethren, hold on to it. Hold on to it. Peter said, Lord, how can we go away from you? We have tasted your love. We have experienced your power. We know that you are the Messiah. How can we go away from thee? Where shall we find a person like you? You have the words of eternal life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Words of eternal life. Dear friends, treasure it. Treasure it. Words of eternal life. Words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You turn with me now to John 8, please. John 8, verses 31 to 32. John 8, 31 to 32. I want to read these two verses. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, if you remain in my word, then you are truly my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the second mark of a true disciple is this. Hold on to the truth of Christ. Don't ever let the words of the Lord Jesus Christ go from you. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ, let it continuously remain in us. Jesus said, you continue in my word. If you do so, you shall be truly my disciples. Remain in the instructions, commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, let me just bring to your attention one more point. My words will be over this morning. The third mark. Retreat from the world and ready to give up our all. Retreat from the world and ready to give our all unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Luke's Gospel now, from Gospel of John. Would you please turn with me to Gospel of Luke? Luke chapter 14, another beautiful passage about Christian discipleship. Luke 14, verses 25 all the way till 33. It's a lengthy passage, but I don't want to read the entire passage. But let me remind you from this, the very gist. Jesus, are you there? Luke chapter 14, verses
25 till 33, Jesus reminding the people. And there went a great multitude, verse 25, with him. And he turned and he said unto him, now listen to this, verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Verse 27, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. What's that? What's that? Jesus telling the crowd, don't be excited. Don't be excited. You want to come to the church? The numbers increases. Don't be excited. The great multitude followed. Right? Verse 25. There went a great multitude with him. And Jesus immediately turned back toward them and he said, what did he tell them? It is very costly. So I want to discourage you this morning. To be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be costly. Do you know that? It's going to be costly. And three areas of the cost Jesus touched here. Three very important areas. First, earthly relationships. We call it attachment. We all are people of attachment. When we are younger, we have our parents. And we grow a little bit more older, we have our wives and husbands. Then we have our children. Then our relatives, in-laws, and all those kinds of things. We all are people of attachment, relationships. Now, if you want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus here very clearly tells this crowd, your love for me, your love for your master must be not only love first, that's how I want to put it. Not only love first, but love most. I hope you got it. We love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this is what we love him most. All our earthly relationships, how long our earthly relationships will be there? Till the coffin is lowered into the grave. Right? Till then only. We will hug, and even the dead body, we will hug and kiss and all those kinds of things we will do. But everything over, when it is lowered into the grave. But sadly, people forsake everything for those relationships. Yesterday we discussed, for parents, the children are the most. They will go to any extent for their children, right? Young parents, we will go to any extent for our children. They can skip Sunday worship services. They can skip seminars and anything they can do for their children. You love your children most. But Jesus said, that is not what true discipleship. Love me most. Jesus never said we should not love our children, our wives, our fathers. Bible is never against piety in relationships. That's what we said yesterday. Husbands, love your wife. But that love should not be at the expense of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the point. You got it? There is a place for relationships, but that should never be our earthly attachments, should never be at the expense of our love for the church, our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the principle I learned. And we must learn that principle. We must work hard, must take care of our children. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, be submitted to your husbands. Children, honor your parents. Children, take care of your parents. All those things, the word of the Lord encourages us. Nothing wrong in all those things. But it should never be at the cost of loving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please take note. So those who are married, your love for your wife, or ladies, your love for your husbands should never be at the expense. You can cherish the relationship the Lord has ordained it, nothing wrong in that. But love most whom? The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the first thing that the Lord talks here about the cost of discipleship is deny personal attachments, readiness to deny personal attachments. Deny self-will, verse 27. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. The many self-desire, self-will. We build up a lot of ambitions and we can forsake anything. No morality is needed and we can go to any extent for our personal ambitions. Jesus said, no, no. And finally, deny the worldly passions. Verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all, he cannot be my disciple. Discipleship is very costly, my dear friend. Now, do you want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Be ready to pay the price. I want you just to read a story, a real story about John Bunyan. John Bunyan, the one who wrote The Pilgrim Progress, about his own life. Listen to this. John Bunyan, the author of The Pilgrim Progress, was told to quit preaching or he would be thrown in prison. The personal hardship did not concern him, but the fact that it would put his wife and family into utter poverty weighed greatly upon him. He wrote from prison, "The parting with my wife and poor children hath often been to me in this place as the pulling of the flesh from my bones, and that not only because I am somewhat too fond of these great mercies, but also because I would have often brought to my mind the many hardships, miseries, and wants that my poor family was like to meet with, should I be taken from them." Listen now this. "Especially my poor blind child, who lay nearer my heart than all I have besides. Oh, the thought of the hardship my blind one might go under would break my heart to pieces. But yet, recalling myself, thought I must venture all with God. Oh, I saw in this condition, I was a man who was pulling down his house upon the head of his wife and children. Yet, thought I must do it. I must do it." John Bunyan, for the gospel's sake, imprisoned,
his wife and his children suffered. Not just the children, when that blind child. Yet, he did not forsake his call to be a preacher of the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My dear friends, I can tell about every one of you here, including my life. We haven't suffered even a percentage of the real cost of discipleship. Listen to this. You and I have not suffered even a percentage of the real cost of discipleship. Think of the lives of the great reformers. Martin Luther, John Calvin. You read through their biographies. You will cry. You will cry. You will break down. Men who gave their all. How costly the call was. Calvin, he could not enjoy his personal life with his wife. A sick wife. Children, many died. The story of Luther was not anywhere different. But still, till their last breath, they fought for the real testimony of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? Why? They saw Jesus. They experienced the power of Jesus in their lives. And they realized it is worth it all to give their entire life. Would you, and I want to make this very clear. Discipleship is not going to be easy. That is the gospel call. Do you want to follow? Don't go after the cheap gospel, okay, please. Don't go after the cheap gospel. And that's what you hear by and large. I want to tell you very clearly. I want to discourage you. Understand the truth. Must be ready. Must be ready. Discipline ourselves. Understand the cost. We thank God. We haven't suffered even a single percentage. Thank God for that. And it is by the mercies of the Lord. But even if situation turns around, it may come upon us very demanding. The call this morning is, don't give up. Don't give up. It is worth it all. Giving our all to Jesus Christ. It's worth it all. Shall we pray?
Our Father,
we want to thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, O God, for calling us. Follow me. Come and see. Yes, Lord, we want to truly see your greatness, your power. Not just to see, O Lord, but to be personally touched and transformed, and thereafter remain therein until our all be brought unto the altar of our Savior Jesus Christ. I pray, O Lord, this morning for these dear brothers and sisters, that help them to understand the very cost of discipleship. And a readiness to say, yes, Lord, we will follow thee in the very end. In Jesus' name, Amen.